Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special. What a powerful reminder that is of how good God has been in all of our lives. And we're grateful for that. So thank you, Megan, for singing that tonight. What a great blessing that is. And just again, a great reminder of how good that God has been. And I trust you've been encouraged just by being in church already tonight. And that's what this is all about. We come together as a church family in the middle of the week to receive the encouragement that we have. And of course, it's a great blessing to be able to look around and be able to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, and then to hear music and sing and share burdens and, of course, praises, and then open up the Word of God. And so I'm looking forward to our time in God's Word tonight. If you take your Bible and turn to the book of James this evening, James in chapter 5, and we began to pray last week as Pastor asked me to be prepared to preach tonight about where the Lord would have us, and he began to lay a subject on my heart. And usually, God will lay a text on my heart and then a subject. And I've been thinking about prayer a lot recently. And I began to look at James, which is where we would have been as I've been kind of preaching through the book of James, the next section. And it just so happened to deal with prayer. And I believe the Lord would have us to be in this passage tonight. And this will likely be the last message that I'll preach out of this series, out of the book of James. But we'll finish tonight in these final few verses here in this passage. So if you're able to stand tonight, I invite you to take your Bible and stand with me as you read the Word of God this evening. And it feels like this week we have gone straight into full-blown summer. I don't know if you've noticed that. And humidity is here. And I believe probably some of you are probably weary tonight, aren't you? And it's been a long week. Some of you work outside, and I know the effort that it takes to be in church tonight, and I'm grateful that you're able to be here, and I trust that God will give us exactly what we have need of. I don't ever want to waste your time, and I pray that the Lord would give me the message that he would have me to share with you. So let me encourage you, since you're here, let's plug in and get exactly what God would have for us tonight, all right? James chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says there, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's remarkable. Not a drop of rain in the entire world for 3 years and 6 months. And then verse 18, "And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." I want to preach on this subject tonight, the powerful potential of prayer. The powerful potential of prayer. And of course, as we gather on a Wednesday evening, part of this service is about sharing prayer requests and praying over those things. So I know our minds are already on that, but let's see what God's Word has for us tonight from this passage. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we do come before you tonight again, we're grateful, Lord, to be able to open up your word. I'm so grateful that I don't have to stand and try to give some of my wisdom tonight. And Lord, we have your word, and so I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I pray that you'd calm my nerves and help me to be able to preach the message that you've laid on my heart. I pray that I'd be able to articulate that. Lord, I pray for those that have joined us tonight here in the auditorium. And Lord, I know it took effort to be here tonight, Lord, and I pray that you'd just help them to be able to pay attention. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come into this place and that you would speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we pray for those that are joining us through the live stream that cannot be here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd use this message in their hearts and lives as well. Lord, please meet with us tonight and help us. We need your help. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I think most of you know this about me. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm somewhat proud of that fact, and it's a lovely place. You'll have to take my word for it, because some of you don't believe me. I understand that. And I remember, you know, the memories of growing up are so vivid. And I remember specifically my boyhood home, the home that I grew up in on the west side of Cleveland, Ohio, 3636 West 128th Street. It's amazing. Sometimes I can't remember what my wife told me yesterday. And that's a confession. I'm just being honest with you tonight. But I remember those numbers like they were just like, I mean, I can see the house and the colors and all of that. I mean, it's just right there in my mind. I remember my phone number growing up. I mean, those things are ingrained in my mind. And I remember, of course, I grew up in the 80s. I was born in 1981, and so things are a little bit different now than they were then. And what I mean by that is we connected with our friends in real life. You know what I mean by that? We didn't have a virtual world at that time. There was no metaverse or anything like that, whatever that means. But we would connect with them in real life. And so I also had a mom that kicked us out of the house in the summertime after breakfast was over. She said, don't come back till lunch. And then after lunch, don't come back till dinner. And so we had to entertain ourselves. And so we were out, and we had all kinds of friends in our neighborhood. I remember four houses down were Adam and Brandon Wynn. And then right next to them were the Kelly boys. And then on down the street the other way were Todd and Eric May. And then across the street was Peter Althoff. And then you had the three Folger boys. I was the youngest of three boys. We're all about 2 years apart. And so I remember that most of the summer days you could find us playing football in the street in front of our house. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I was on the younger end, and I was also on the smaller end of the boys that were out there. My brother Kevin, he was one of the older ones. He's 4 years older than I am. He was one of the older ones, and he was one of the more athletic ones. And so as it happened to be, most times I was teamed up with Kevin. I was on his team. And remember this, in football, he would say, Andy, you play quarterback. He goes, and all you have to do is call Hike, give me a few seconds, and then just throw the ball in the air. It doesn't have to be a good throw. I'm able to get above everybody else. I can jump up, and I can grab the football, and we will win. And that's all you have to do. Call Hike, wait a few seconds, throw the ball, and I'll get it. And I remember, time after time, I would do that. I'd call Hike. And I'm throwing these beautiful passes through the air. And out of nowhere, here comes my brother Kevin. And I'm thinking, listen, I'm like Bernie Kosar throwing bombs to Webster Slaughter. That doesn't seem like it connected with anybody in here tonight. How about this? Peyton Manning throwing bombs to Reggie Wayne. I guess I have to know the audience that I'm speaking to tonight. But the idea there was, listen, can I tell you, in those football games, really the fact that we were winning had nothing to do with my ability and everything to do with my brother's ability to be bigger, to be stronger, to be faster than the other kids that were out there. And I can promise you this, they were not beautiful throws, but I would just throw the ball up there and he would come out of nowhere and get that. You know, the truth is that illustration reminds me of the incredible power of prayer. Understand this. Listen, can I tell you tonight, through prayer, we have full access to the power and the ability of Almighty God. And the truth is tonight, can I tell you, it has nothing to do with our own strength. It has nothing to do with our ability. Do you realize the remarkability of the nature of the fact that God allows us to come to Him in prayer? And through prayer, we have full access to the ability of Almighty God. In fact, the text here says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's of great effect because prayer, can I tell you tonight, moves the very hand of God, begins to put God into action in our lives, not because we have power. Can I tell you tonight, prayer has nothing to do with us and our ability and everything to do with Him and His ability. As a boy, as I was throwing passes, it had nothing to do with my weak passes, and it had everything to do with the ability that my brother had. And I want to just remind you tonight, as we go to God in prayer, it's not about us, it's all about Him. It's His strength and His ability. So I want to ask you this question tonight. How is your prayer life? I wonder if we're satisfied with where we are in our prayer life. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you saw God answer a specific prayer? I'm not just talking about, Lord, bless me, help me, do this, do that. No, you put some specific things to a matter of prayer, and God came through and answered that prayer. We just came through a very powerful month, the month of prayer and fasting, and it's always a wonderful time every year as we are able to focus on prayer and getting a hold of the heart and the throne of God. But listen, I want to ask you this question. When was the last time you saw a specific answer to prayer that God did something that you asked him to do. As we come to the final few verses of James, James is writing here to Christians that are living in difficulty. And again, we've gone through the background. I hope you understand that at this point, they've been scattered from their homeland. Persecution is all around them. And yet, can I tell you that James would remind them of the powerful potential of prayer? In other words, listen, when the world has abandoned us, maybe when our families have abandoned us or our friends have abandoned us, God is still there with us, and he desires to answer our prayers. So I want you to look at a couple things here from this passage. The first thing I want you to see is the ability or power of prayer. The ability, the power behind prayer. We see in verse 16, the Bible says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Can I tell you, when we are right with God and we're praying to God, it can have a great effect in our lives and in other people's lives. There's power to that. I want you to see that prayer, we find here in this passage, that prayer moves the hand of God. It begins to get God involved in our situation. Can I tell you, one of the things I love about the Scriptures is that you see people throughout Scripture. I mean, we have living, breathing examples that God gives to us. And here's what I like about that. Every one of them have problems just like you and I have. Ever hear that phrase, misery loves company? We like to know that somebody else is having a hard time when we're having a hard time, don't we? And so we look at Scripture and we see these people, and in their time of need, here's what we watch, here's the pattern. They go through a difficulty, and in their time of need, they turn to God, and God begins to move on their behalf. What an incredible, powerful example that God gives us through his word. In fact, James here in this passage would tell those who were afflicted and sick to turn to prayer. And go back in verse 13, he says this in verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted?" That word afflicted, it carries with it the idea of troubled or dealing with difficulty. Now, if I was to take a survey tonight in this room and I was to ask you, listen, are you dealing with any type of trouble in your life tonight? Probably all of us could raise our hand, right? Because we're all going through things. Some may be bigger mountains than others. And listen, as we take evaluation of our life, all of us have difficulties. And so James says this, is any afflicted? Is anybody dealing with difficulty or trouble? James' solution is this, let him pray. Why? Because we need God in our time of trouble. We need God in our time of affliction. Can I tell you that prayer should be the first response when we go through trouble? It ought to be that way in our lives. But I don't know about you, but oftentimes my first response is this. I can't believe this is happening. Lord, do you not realize what I'm doing? I'm trying to serve you, and we're trying to do this and that, and I can't believe I'm dealing with this thing. Instead, can I tell you, God wants us to come to him in prayer. He wants us to bring our afflictions to him. And so James says, first of all, here in this passage, is any afflicted? Let him pray. I love the quote by John Butler. He says this about prayer. He says, "The fact that prayer is a help in trouble tells us that prayer is a valuable friend." He goes on to say this, "The value of something is proven by what it will do for you in difficult times." Can I tell you, if that is very true, and of course that is in our lives, we understand this. Listen, when you go through trouble, a lot of things don't really matter, do they? You find yourself in a crisis, it really doesn't matter if you have a nice home and maybe money and those kind of things. No, in the midst of a crisis, but it does matter that you have prayer. It doesn't matter that you can turn to God and he can take care of those needs and you can bring those burdens to him. And so, but John Butler would say this, many things fail us in difficult times, but not prayer. It's there for us. And so James says, listen, if you're afflicted, if you're dealing with trouble, let him pray. And then he says this in verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And the idea there is someone that's dealing with an incredible sickness. Can I tell you, he's not referring to those that might have a common cold or maybe seasonal allergies, but I mean, this is one who is dealing with a debilitating sickness. In fact, many commentators believe that this type of sickness would have kept this person from being able to come to the gathering of the church. They were weak, and maybe they were unable to get out of bed. And so he says, let him call for the elders of the church and come to them. By the way, we still do this today, don't we? Go to the hospital and make visits and pray with people in the hospital. And our pastoral staff will go out and visit with people. Our deacons will go and make visits and phone calls. Our church family will pray for one another. And that's what he's talking about here. He even says here in verse 14 that let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Can I tell you tonight that there's no special healing power in oil, but there is special healing power in prayer. Because it moves the hand of God. And he says, listen, if you're dealing with these things in your life, let him go to God in prayer. Why? Because prayer gives us access to the power and the ability of an almighty God. I think we can just, as we live this life, can I tell you, we can become so familiar with things of a spiritual nature. But do you realize God spoke this world into existence in 6 days? That's power. Think about that. Just speaking words and there it is. That's incredible. And that's the power that we have access to when we go to God in prayer. So we find that, first of all, under this point of the ability or power of prayer, that prayer moves the hand of God. And then the second thing that I see here in this passage is this: God desires that we come to him in prayer. He longs for his children to come to him in prayer. Listen, I understand this can be somewhat basic tonight, but don't miss the truth that's there. That God desires and he wants you to come to him in prayer. Of course, we find that James, under Holy Spirit inspiration, invites us to prayer. In other words, listen, God says, James, this is what I want you to pen. Tell them to come to me in prayer. Let him pray. God longs for us to come to him in prayer. In fact, we study the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, he would not only pray himself, but he would teach on prayer. In fact, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 18, because I want you to see a passage that Jesus gives to us about prayer. Of course, during Jesus' earthly ministry, oftentimes he would speak in parables. And parables would have an earthly meaning with a heavenly truth. There was a spiritual truth behind them that Jesus was trying to get across. They were illustrations, if you will. And he says in Luke 18 and verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is the meaning behind the parable. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can I give you a truth tonight? That Jesus wants you to go to God the Father in prayer. Often. That as we go through this life, listen, we can get weary. I mentioned tonight some of you are weary. Maybe not just with maybe the temperature outside and the busy week that you've had, but with life in general right now. I mean, it just seems like one burden after another. And God desires that we would bring those requests and petitions before him. And so he says, here's the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So he says this in verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So get the picture. We have this judge here, and he is, in his own mind, the most important person that there ever was. He's high and lifted up in his own mind. The Bible says he fears not God. He has no regard for the way that God would have him to act. He has no regard for the people that he would supposedly serve under. So he doesn't fear God. He doesn't regard man. In other words, he's only doing those things which are convenient for him. It's all about him. In the contrast here in verse 3, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now you would understand something about biblical culture, at least Middle Eastern culture, in Bible times was this. They didn't have the social programs that we have today. And so someone that was a widow was often destitute. In fact, remember James tells the church, he says, listen, it's your job to take care of the widows and the fatherless. It's your responsibility to meet their needs. And so we understand the destitute nature of this woman, and she has an enemy. And I would just say this, she would have no one to advocate for her. She'd go around and she'd be afflicted in this life. And so the picture here is seen that she would come to the judge, and she would say this to the judge, basically, do your job. Avenge me of mine adversary. I need someone to advocate for me. I need someone to help me. The Bible says, and he would not for a while. I can imagine he would have no doubt looked down on her. She might be at the courthouse every day or wherever business was taking place, and he might look at her, and the first day she approached him and he walked hurriedly past her, and it probably came to a point where every day that he would walk there, he'd expect to see her and he would just continue moving on past. Why? Because he had no regard for her. He had no regard for the fact that God would have him be involved in her situation. He would keep on moving. And yet the Bible says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Can I tell you, even in his solution, it was all about him. He says, she's bothering me, and therefore I'm sick of her, so I'll just do what she wants, and that way maybe she'll leave me alone. Now, I love this, because the passage goes on to say in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Can I tell you, this passage really is a comparison and a contrast. The contrast is this between the judge of this earth and the judge of all things, the God of heaven. Can I tell you, the judge of this earth is unjust. He cares about himself. The God of heaven, the judge of all of the earth, is completely holy and has your best and my best in his mind. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Can I tell you, as we're comparing and contrasting here, there's a contrast between this wicked judge who only cared about himself and God who cares and loves for mankind so much that he sent his son to this earth. But he says this, hear what that unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? He says, do you understand that your heavenly Father longs to hear your prayers and your petitions and your requests? That God loves you so much that he wants to be involved in your daily life. He wants to be with you and guide you through the different difficulties that you go through. He cares for you and he loves you. And he wants you to bring your requests and your petitions to him. And I love this. He will be there though he has bared long with them. In other words, can I tell you, God's already been so far better to us than any of us deserve. I think about the song tonight, and I can sing of the goodness of God. All my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been good. Can you imagine this? That not only does God save us and he redeems us, but then he desires to just dwell with us and spend time with us and get involved in the things that we're involved. He wants to get into our lives, and he wants us to bring our prayers and our petitions before him. And listen, this is the end of that parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can I tell you tonight, don't give up. Don't go weary in this world. Take these things to God in prayer. He longs to hear from you. Look at verse 8, though. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on this earth? He says, here's the question. Listen, can I tell you tonight, prayer is tied to faith. Our prayer is to God. And can I tell you, as this world goes further and further away from God, can I tell you, if we're not careful as Christians, we can grow more weary with the things that we're dealing with. And here's the question. When Jesus comes back from his church, is he going to find those on this earth that have just stayed with him in faith? Can I tell you, the devil's goal in your life tonight is for you to give up. To grow weary in the battle that you're going with. And God says, listen, come to me in prayer. The truth is tonight, we miss out on so much of the power of God in our life because we are weak in prayer. Now, I'm speaking to myself tonight. Can I tell you, I'm wondering if in 2022, if we might not be guilty of little faith. If we might not be guilty of a weak prayer life, can I tell you, we have it pretty good here in the United States of America. And sometimes I dare say we have it too good in the United States of America. Listen, I was thinking about it tonight as I was just preparing, and throughout this week, I was thinking about this. I don't know that I've ever wondered if I was going to be able to provide and put food on the table for my kids. And yet there are some in our world today that's a real thing for them. You know, my wife and I have been married 19 years this June, and I can't remember a time when we didn't know if the rent was going to be paid or the mortgage was going to be paid. And I understand that there may be someone here, that's a very real thing for you. You've gone through that. But I'm just saying, listen, for most of us tonight, listen, we have it so good that it's almost like we can live as though we don't need God in our lives. Because, quite honestly, God's been so good to us. I think about the words of Christ to the church at Laodicea in Revelation in chapter 3. And I want to just read this. You might mark this down and look this up later. And, of course, the Laodicean church was just somewhat lukewarm. I mean, they're just going through life. There's not really much of a spiritual bone. They're gathering for services and those kind of things, but they're really not fulfilling the function of the church. And this is the reason, he says in verse 17. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Can I tell you, the devil longs for us to get to that place where we would say, God, it's okay. I really don't need you in my life. I've got blessings. I've got a home. I've got food. There's money in the bank. The bills are paid. Things are going pretty good for me. But notice what he says to this church, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Why? Because they were living this life without the help of Christ in their life. They were living this life in their own strength and not living in Christ's strength. I got to be honest tonight, I'm thankful for the blessings that God has placed in my life. I really truly am, and I'm grateful that we can sing songs and that I can say amen to a song like Megan sang tonight. But I want to also tell you, I'm also thankful for the trials that he allows us to go through. Because they're a reminder that we need him. Can I tell you, the Lord will allow us to go through some things in our life in which we can't fix it. There's nothing we can do in our own strength. Of course, our family has recently gone through a major trial. My wife was having a surgery in March, and I remember we sat down with the surgeon just a few days before the surgery, and he explained things. He said, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to go and take just a small section of her left lung, and it'll be easy. He says, I'll go in, I'll get it out. And now listen, I know you know our past that some of these surgeries have not gone well. So I began to quiz him a little bit. And I said, how many of these have you done? And I think Sheree was a little bit nervous because she thought I was offending him. And she said, you'll just have to forgive him. We've gone through a lot. And he looks at me and he says, this is the easiest thing I ever do. And of course, as you know, the surgery didn't go as easy. Can I tell you, when I walked into that ICU room and saw my wife in the condition that she was after surgery, there was nothing I could do to fix that. There was nothing in my own strength and my own power. Can I tell you that money in the bank and mortgages and blessings that we have, I mean, all these physical things, they really didn't matter in that moment. All I could think about is, Lord, you got to help us. You got to be with my wife. And of course, as we went to getting those in our church to begin to pray, and the Lord taught us a valuable lesson in that time of, listen, all these other things, they're great, but they don't matter in a time of need. But you know what matters? That you can go to your Heavenly Father in prayer and that he can listen and he can hear your prayers. And I think about the Psalms of David over and over again. He says, listen, I cried to the Lord, and what did this happen? The Lord heard my cry. A wonderful blessing to know that God hears and answers prayer. He desires that we come to him and that we bring our petitions and our requests for him. And listen, can I tell you, the Lord taught us a lot of through that time about prayer. Taught us a lot about trusting in him and the value of a church family that comes together in prayerful support. I can't tell you what a blessing our church was and still is and has been through this entire time. Almost immediately, people reaching out saying, we're praying, what can we do? How can we help you? I'm just simply saying tonight, listen, in the midst of our difficulties, God desires that we would come to him. There's such an absolute ability of the power of prayer. Can I tell you tonight that God will place opportunities in your daily life for you to call upon him for his help? He really will. I mean, just maybe rehearse your day today. Some of the things you went through. And God will give us opportunities throughout our daily life. Sometimes it's a small trial, sometimes it's a major trial. You know what they're there for? So that you'll look to him and that you'll invite him into your life to be a part of that. And yet I wonder sometimes how guilty we are of just simply forgetting about the ability to pray to God. And the question is, listen, are you turning to Him in prayer? Or are you living life in your strength? Because we find here from James in chapter 5 that the ability and the power of prayer. And sometimes I can tell you this, listen, we can either live weak Christian lives because we're living in our strength, or we can live in His strength. I see that, number one. And then secondly, and very quickly, I know we don't have much time, and so I've got just one more point that I want to show you tonight here in this passage. Just hang on with me a little bit longer. The second thing we see here in this passage is not only the ability and the power of prayer, but secondly, notice the picture of the petitioner, the person who would take his requests and his needs to God. We see in verse 17, the Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not in the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So James is teaching about prayer, and he introduces us, or not introduces, but he reminds us about a biblical character, Elijah, the great prophet. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to see Elijah as this larger-than-life figure. And I got to be honest, listen, sometimes I think we build these images in our mind that probably aren't the case. I think it might surprise us when we get to heaven, when we see some of these men that were just ordinary people like you and I have this, I have my own theory about Samson. I've always thought Samson was this muscle-bound man. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find that he was just an ordinary man, because the question was this: where does your strength lie? If it was in his muscles, they would know where it lied. And so we see Elijah, and can I tell you, if we're not careful, we tend to build this image in our mind of this man, and of course Elijah was bold. I mean, he confronts probably the most wicked king there ever was, King Ahab and his wife. But I want to tell you, it's interesting how James refers to Elijah. He says this: he's a man subject to like passions as we are. You know who Elijah was? He was a human being like you and me. Can I tell you tonight that sometimes if we're not careful, we can maybe look at somebody else and we can say, well, man, they have this tremendous standing with God, and I could never be like them. I mean, they have special gifts and special abilities, and I'm just me over here, almost like we're creating excuses for ourselves. And James wants us to know this. Listen, Elijah, he dealt with the same battles that you and I deal with. In other words, can I tell you this? If you desired to have the prayer life of Elijah, you could. Because he's just a human being. Here's a convicting thought. The only thing that's holding back my ability to communicate with God is me. You should think about that tonight. I mean, we can have the greatest prayer life, except we hinder ourselves. And so we see a few things about Elijah, the picture of the petitioner here. First of all, notice that he was earnest in his prayer life. The Bible says he was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. We find in the end of verse 16, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Those words, effectual and fervent, they go together. And the idea behind them is that we would pray with energy and enthusiasm. I mean, like almost expecting that God could do what we go to Him in prayer to do. In other words, can I tell you, if we'll have faith in what God can do, it'll bring an energy and an enthusiasm into our prayer life. Because it is God. He's created everything. He has all power. And that's who we go to Him in prayer. I was thinking about this. Much has been said about Elon Musk lately. It's hard to fathom the amount of money that that man has. I think he just bought Twitter recently, and so I think his net worth is somewhere around $280 billion today. There is no way to even quantify how much money that is. That's a lot of Teslas right there. I'll just tell you that. A whole lot. $280 billion. And listen, regardless of what you think of the man, and I know, I don't know that any of us really know what to think about the man. It is scary that the amount of power he has because of the amount of money he has. But I thought about it this way. Regardless of what you think about the man, if you found out that he was willing to help you in an endeavor, he was sympathetic to you, and he said, listen, just give me a call, here's my number, I desire to help you. Can I tell you, none of us would say, well, I'll get to that later. If I have time this weekend, I'll call Elon Musk's personal cell phone. No, I dare say we might have some energy and enthusiasm because we know what he has the ability to do. And I want to remind you tonight as we go to God in prayer, can I tell you, Elon Musk's $280 billion, not a drop in the bucket of what God has. And the ability that we would have to go to God in prayer, can I tell you, that ought to excite us and put some energy and some enthusiasm behind our prayers. Amen. I think about Elijah. Listen, he goes to the king and he says, listen, it's not going to rain for the space of 3.5 years. Can I tell you, Elijah didn't give himself really much of an exit strategy here. I mean, he goes and he defies the king to his face. And if this doesn't happen, it's over for Elijah. I mean, I want you to understand something. This is a bold prayer that he has. Why? Because he had a bold faith in what God could do. Amen. Can I tell you tonight that faith in what God can do will bring energy and enthusiasm to our prayer life? But we must have faith in what he can do. Some of you right now are praying for a breakthrough in a situation. Maybe it's a relationship or it's a burden that you're carrying right now. My question is this: do you believe that God can help you? Do you believe that God can get the victory in that? Do you have faith in what he can do when you ask him? And so we find that there's a faith element involved in prayers. Can I tell you tonight that weak, anemic prayers are a result of weak, anemic faith? You say, I desire to have a better prayer life. Listen, you need to grow your faith. You need to understand who God is and what he can do. So let me ask you this question. What are you asking God to do tonight? Are you asking him to do anything? Because sometimes, I understand how it goes. Sometimes our prayer life looks like this. Dear Lord, please help me today. Please be with my kids. Please help our pastor. Please be with my spouse. Please help me at work. And I'm thinking, listen, what do we want God's help with? In other words, listen, may we go to God with some specific prayer request. Lord, help me to maintain my Christian testimony today. Lord, you know this battle that I'm dealing with, and I need your help. Lord, would you please be with my children? Lord, help them to develop a heart to worship you and a love for you. Help me to be the proper example of love for you, and on. Lord, please be with my pastor as he prepares messages and as he cares for the church. Lord, I know he's dealing with spiritual battles, and please be with this person in specific prayers. Can I tell you the picture of prayer that James gives is an energetic, enthusiastic petitioner praying specific prayers. That's what we see of Elijah here. I know that's a mouthful, so I'm going to say it again. Listen, the picture that James gives us is an energetic, enthusiastic petitioner praying specific prayers. And then we find not only of Elijah, not only was he earnest, but he was regular in his prayer life. The Bible says in verse 18, and prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. 3.5 years of time passed between verses 17 and verse 18. Can I tell you where Elijah was every day? He was at the throne of God. The reason we know this is because Elijah, he could not have survived without God's help. I mean, God's bringing birds to him that are bringing food, and God's using unusual ways to care for him. What I want you to understand is this. Listen, Elijah just didn't have a burden, and he went to God, and he prayed for it once, and then he walked away, and he never went back again. No, Elijah was a regular coming to God in prayer over and over and over again. Can I tell you, sometimes we give up too easily. We pray for something, and then we leave it there, and we never go back to God in prayer. I remind you what Jesus said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Tonight, as we conclude, and we'll be done in just a minute, I want to challenge you tonight to grow your prayer life. I think that's something all of us need to do. Listen, one of the greatest faith-building exercises is to pray earnestly about something. And pray specifically about it. And pray over and over and over again until you see God work in that situation. And no, tonight I'm not talking about a windfall of cash. Lord, help me win the lottery. That's not the prayers I'm talking about. Sometimes if we're not careful, listen, all our prayers can benefit us. I'm talking about something that will help to advance the opportunities that you have to give God glory in your life. Some of you right now have somebody in your family that you long to see saved. Can I tell you, it's time to get a hold of the throne of God on that person's behalf. It's time to come with an enthusiastic, energetic prayer to God, believing that God and having enough faith in God to work in that situation. Maybe it's a family member that's wayward or a burden that you're carrying. And listen, can I tell you, it's time to put some specific feet to our prayers. Not, Lord, would you just bless in this situation, but Lord, this is what I desire for you to do in this situation, not so that it would benefit me, but it would be, give me a greater opportunity to glorify you in my life. Open up a greater door of ministry. A prayer for God to do something that would grow your faith. I got to just tell you from personal experience, listen, it's an incredible thing when you put specific things to God in prayer and then you watch God answer that prayer. And you know that it was God that did it. That's faith right there. It builds faith. And it helps us to, as we go through further and further difficulties. And so tonight, if we really believed in the power of prayer, most of us would be far more earnest in our prayers. And James says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It moves the hand of God. There's such a power in that prayer. And then we have this picture of this person that goes to God in earnest prayer and a regular prayer. I mean, the idea there is that he just sits at God's throne until God intervenes. So let's seek God tonight and ask him to do big things in our life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we'll have an invitation here in just a minute. I don't know how God may have spoken to your heart tonight, but I trust that he's desiring to build some faith in our lives. Maybe God spoke to you tonight about a specific area or a specific need that you have in your life. Maybe tonight was just a reminder that you had need of, just to remind you of how good and how powerful God is in your life. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart, let's do business with him, whether they're in the pew or here at the altar tonight. Let's pray with specifics and let's pray with earnestness that God would intervene in our situations. Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, we realize this. We are nothing without you. And Lord, you give us a powerful tool of prayer. Lord, as James would remind these people that are dealing with their own difficulties, that, Lord, we can call on you. I pray that you'd help us to do that. Help us to know that you hear and answer our prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.